you. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Let's be seated and take our Bibles. Let's be seated, please, and take our Bibles. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Let's be seated. Take our Bibles and turn to. Yes, you guys are wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate it. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis 14. Genesis 14 in your Bible. Thank you. Thank you. Genesis 14, I love you too. Here we go. Genesis 14. I love you too. I don't know who said it, like a distant cousin. Genesis 14. My heart's full, and so I want to use the time that we have to bring a message to you. I'm thankful for this place. I'm thankful for the influence that Hiles Anderson has had on me and on so many others throughout the years. And I'm glad that you're here. And I can't wait to spend time this semester in class and in the hallways and in this chapel with you. And it's a blessing. It really is. And so thank you for choosing this place and following the will of God. And let's see what God has for us in Genesis chapter number 14. I'm interested in verse number 17 today. Genesis chapter number 14, verse number 17. And follow along with me as I read. The Bible says, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him," that's Abraham, "after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. Melchizedek," who we understand is an Old Testament type of Christ. If you go to the book of Hebrews, you'll see that Melchizedek didn't have a beginning or an end, a father or a mother. He's the king of peace. I believe it's an appearance of Christ. "Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand.' And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, 'Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself.' And Abram said to the king of Sodom, 'I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessors of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich.'" In our passage, Lot, Abraham's backslidden nephew, is living in Sodom. You understand that Sodom is a type of the world. Sodom represents everything that is wrong and wicked in the world. And Lot has made his choice in chapter number 13. There's really no turning back at this point for Lot. Lot has chosen the well-watered plains of Jordan over the plains of Jehovah. Lot has chosen the wealth and the opportunity that seemed to be so abundant in Sodom. The bright lights of Sodom had flashed in front of Lot's face, and in a moment of time and at a crossroads of life, Lot made the wrong choice. He looked at Sodom, he looked at Gomorrah, and all that it had to offer, and he turned his back on Abraham, the father of the faithful. He turned his back on the will of God, and he made his choice. He chose the money, the popularity, the position. He had a spot at the gate of Sodom, and it cost him his testimony, his integrity, his wife, and even his daughters. While Lot's living in Sodom, four kings make a league together and decide to invade and to go to war against the confederate of kings that made up the nation of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom is losing the battle. And the king of Sodom retreats to the slime pits where he belongs. While his army flees to the mountains, he hides in the slime pits, and watches as his city is ransacked, looted, as all the goods of Sodom are carried away, along with some people, including Lot and Lot's family. This is all, you can read all this. We'll probably reference some of it at some point, but it's all in chapter number 14. Lot's taken captive. Look, if you would, verse number 12. The Bible says, they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, dwelt in Sodom and his goods, and they departed. Abraham hears what happens, and he does something really incredible. He goes and he trains 318 in verse number 14. He trains 318 servants to pursue these four kings that have looted and ransacked the nation of Sodom. He goes to get his nephew back. And God gives Abraham the victory. Our God is victorious. He always wins. He always wins. And so he gives Abraham the victory. He succeeds in defeating these four kings. He brings back the goods from Sodom and Gomorrah. He brings back Lot and the other people that were taken captive. And on the way back, Melchizedek stops him and he blesses him. Melchizedek, the king of peace, he greets Abraham and prays over him, and he gives him bread and wine. I believe a picture of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, the bread and the wine. The Old Testament appearance of Christ stops Abraham and he prays over him, he blesses him, and he says, let me give you something valuable. I'll give you the Word of God. I'll give you the Holy Spirit of God, the bread and the wine. And Abraham receives the gifts, continues to walk. And when the king of Sodom heard that Abraham defeated the leagues of the kings, he crawls out of the slime pit and he approaches Abraham. Verse number 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. He goes out to meet him, and I believe the king of Sodom is a type of Satan himself. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded them. Satan had already deceived Lot. He had already blinded Lot. He had already made a deal with Lot, and now he's going after Abraham. Can you imagine it? Can you see Abraham, Brother Mitchell, would you stand up, please, as Abraham? And can you see the king of Sodom crawling out of a slime pit, approaching Abraham, extending his crooked hand as if to make a deal, opening his slimy mouth and saying this to Abraham? Abram, give me the people, and I'll give you the goods. Look, you would, in verse number 21. That's exactly what he said. Thank you, Brother Mitchell. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for thyselves. I see three things in this story that I want to point out in the time that we have left. And I'm going to preach a message that I've entitled, Making a Deal with the Devil. Making a deal with the devil. Father, I pray that you'd bless. Lord, simple thoughts, simple truths. I pray that you would do what only you can do. The stage has been set, the text explained, and now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do a work in your people's hearts. God, I pray that some promises and commitments would be made even today on the second day of chapel that would impact eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, the proposal. The proposal. I see the proposal in verse number 21. The king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Hey, Abraham, here's the contract. Abraham, here's the deal. Abraham, I've drawn it all up. Here's a nice golden pen straight from the city of Sodom. Here's the dotted line. Abraham, give me your signature. The deal is this. Give me the people and take the goods. That's what was offered to Abraham that day. Give me the people. Give me those that you've rescued, and I'll give you anything that you can see here from the city of Sodom. Teenager, college student, Satan wants to make that deal today. He is still offering that contract. He went to Samson and he said to Samson, I'll give you pleasure. You'll find thrill in the lap of Delilah. You can live on the edge, Samson. You can have it all. Just give me the nation of Israel that you should lead. Give me the people. Take the goods for yourself. He went to Judas in the New Testament and he said, hey, Judas, here's 30 pieces of silver. Judas, you can go buy what you want. Buy a nice pair of shoes. Put a down payment down on that new Jeep that you want. I'll give you money. I'll give you whatever you want, Judas. You could be popular for a few moments, but give me your testimony. Give me your ministry. Give me your integrity. Give me the miracles, Judas, that you no doubt would have seen had you remained faithful. Judas, here's the goods, but give me the people. Give me the people. College student, Satan wants to make that deal with you. He wants you to trade the invisible for the visible. He wants you to trade the things that you can't quite see right now for the things that you can grab a hold of right now. He wants you to make that trade. You've heard my testimony a million times. It was a Thursday night of camp. I was 15 years old, sitting off to the preacher's left. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart on a Thursday night. Man, the preaching was hot. The Spirit of God was working. My heart was stirred. The invitation was given, and God spoke to me and said, Abdel, give me your whole life. I want you to serve me. I want you to sell out. It was God speaking, and just as sure as God was speaking in one ear, the king of Sodom was saying, Abdel, what about law school? What about working with your dad? What will your friends think? Don't move. Don't stand up. Don't sell out. Don't step up. Take the goods, Abdel. Take the easy road, but give me the people. He wants you to trade the invisible for the visible. You see, I couldn't see my future family. I couldn't see the hundreds of people that would surrender their lives for the cause of Christ someday. I couldn't see the thousands of people that I would be privileged to preach to someday. I couldn't see the invitations at camps and conferences all across this country. I couldn't see the tears that would be shed at altars, the lives that would be changed. And teenager, you can't see it either, but I promise you, there's a people for you. There's a soul for you to reach. There's a life for you to change. And Satan will say, give me the people. Take the goods for yourself. Satan wants you to trade the invisible for the visible. And I couldn't see it. Some of you can't see it. There are souls to reach and sermons to preach. There are hands that will raise and voices that will praise. There are people in Chicago and teenagers back home. There's a spouse for you and a family and a testimony. Don't make a deal with the devil. He wants you to trade the invisible for the visible. He wants you to trade the incorruptible for the corruptible. Hey, Abraham, take these goods. Take the money. Take the clothes. I don't know what all was in Sodom. Take the food. Take these things that will someday rot, and give me the never dying souls. Give me the people. Satan wants you to trade souls for stuff. I remember as a Hiles Anderson College student going to an office building downtown in between my freshman and sophomore year and working all summer with my dad and walking into that office building. And a long story short, I had keys thrown to me of a nice car. There was a deal made 5 years for $5 million. My friends, I couldn't see it all, but the king of Sodom wanted me to trade the incorruptible for the corruptible. Abdel, here's some money. Here's some security. Here's a little bit of status, and here's a car, and here's a house, and you can go buy what you want, but you'll never preach at our time in Iowa and see the move of God. You'll never stand up at Howells Anderson College and preach to the student body. You'll never go to youth conference in Hammond. You'll never make your way to Indian Creek. You'll never get on a plane and head to Triple S and see God sweep in. You'll never lead a group of teens at youth revival or at school camp. Here it is, Abdel. Here's some money. Here's some goods, but give me the people. The proposal. That's what's on the table today. That's the deal. Man, you're here at Howells Anderson. It's all good on the second day. But there's a contract. I promise you that. There are some bright lights and a shiny pen for you to sign your... There's a signing bonus. Give me the people. Take the goods for yourself. The proposal, number two. I want you to notice the passion. The passion. Look at verse number 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And look at it. Hear the emotion in his voice. Look at the commitment, the promise. That I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet. That I will not take anything that is thine. Lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. The passionate promise. Give me the goods. Take the goods. Give me the people. And Abraham, with passion, with determination, Abraham saying, I've made a promise to God. Do you see it there? In verse number 22, he said, I've lift up my hands unto the Lord. I've made a promise to God. And here's the promise. I'm not taking anything that's yours. I'm not going to take a song. I'm not going to take a style. I'm not going to take, look, not a movie, not a picture. I mean, there is nothing in Sodom for me. I don't want what you have. I don't want the smell of Sodom. I don't want the slime of Sodom. I don't want to compromise for a little bit of Sodom. Hey, I've made a promise and I'm passionate about it. No! And God give us some college students this year that will be passionate. Hey, passionate to be separated from the world. Come on now. Passionate about it. How foolish to come to Howells Anderson College and try to be half in, half out. We're still playing that game? Are we still playing that game? Sneak off to the movies, you know, ha ha, look at this video. Are we still doing that? Hey, I don't want anything. I don't want anything from Sodom. I don't want a hairstyle. I don't want a fashion trend. Are you listening? Do you see it in Abraham? Do you see it? The passion. I don't want a single hook in me from this sinful world. I don't want the look of this world. I don't want the smell of this world. My friends, some of you are a little too close to making that deal. I can look across the crowd. I can see it in some of your eyes. You're a little too close to signing on the dotted line. Give me the people, Satan says, and take the goods for yourself. Some of you ought to make your way to an altar in a moment and make a holy promise to God, just like Abraham did. I'm not taking anything. I don't want any of it. Number three, and I'm done. I said the proposal. Give me the persons and take the goods. The passion. I'll not take anything. And then I want you to see the payoff. The payoff. You see, it wasn't just about Lot. Abraham was the father of the faithful. Abraham's life and legacy and testimony, Brother Jack, would influence like the sands of the seashore. It wasn't just about his backslidden nephew, Lot. It was about all the people that Abraham's integrity and faith and life would eventually touch. The people, the ripple effect of Abraham living for God as the friend of God, the payoff. You see, give me the people, take the goods for yourself. I remember the Saturday driving to Bucyrus, Ohio. You put that picture up there? Solomon, where are you at? Could you stand up? Solomon Singer, where are you at? He's right there in the front row. Is that 2019? Is that when that was? 2019. Man, I was tired. Hey, I was tired. I had worked a long week. I'd gotten a few hours of sleep. Drove. Seemed like too far to Bucyrus. How far is it? 3-4 hours? 4.5 hours, then you lose an hour, 5.5 hours. Drove there, stood in the church and to a group of teenagers and preached my guts out like I've done a million times before. During the invitation, a young man came forward and he got saved, and afterwards he came and he told me, and I said, man, let's take a picture together. 2019. Got a text message from his youth pastor. By the way, his youth pastor, who happens to be a former teenager of mine from West Virginia, who was having his first youth rally. Are you with me? And he said, man, my first youth rally, I know who I want to come. I want Brother Judah to come. And he called me up. He said, Brother Judah, are you busy? I would have said yes to anybody else, but as a former teenager. I was like, no, man, I'm not busy. I can be there. Solomon got saved. Hey, not that long ago, his youth pastor sent me a text and said, Brother Judah, I just watched Solomon lead somebody to Christ at the very spot where he got saved when you were preaching. Hey. See? Give me the people. Give me the Solomons. Give me the people he's going to lead to Christ. Give me the influence he's going to. Abdel, here's some money. Abdel, here's some style. Abdel, here's some compromise. Abdel, worry about what they think and choose the popular road. And Abdel, take the goods. But give me the people. I didn't know Solomon existed. I had no idea. But God knew. And watch this, Satan knew. And that's the deal. That's the offer. You can be seated. I was preaching in Houston, Texas a few weeks ago. I was preaching a youth rally a few weeks ago in Houston, Texas. And while I was there preaching, it was a Friday or a Saturday night. It was a Friday night, and some teenagers got saved. It was a great youth rally, and it was wonderful. And I loved it. Loved every second of it. Next morning, my wife messaged me, and she told me that somebody had reached out to her. And here's the story. I'll tell it the best that I can. One of the young ladies got saved in that meeting. On a Friday night, was so excited about it that she went home about an hour from the meeting and she told her mom. And while she was telling her mom's friend was there. And she said, Mom, I got saved. Oh, that's great. I've been struggling with it, but I got saved. Oh, that's good. Mom, the service was great. Oh, tell me about it. Man, we sang, and then this guy came and he preached, and he was loud and he was kind of crazy, and Mom, I laughed and I cried, and then I got saved. I knew, and the mom said, "What was his name?" I don't remember. I think his name was like Abdul or something. I don't remember. That's what she said. I don't remember. Where's he from? I remember that. From Chicago. He's from Chicago. And the mom's friend is sitting there listening. And the mom's friend says, hang on a second. Chicago? Yes. You laughed? You cried? Yes. You got saved? Yes. Muslim? Yes. The mom's friend says, I think that's my youth pastor. Reached Stephanie years ago. Years ago, West Virginia, knocked on her door. She was living in Belpre, Ohio. She came and began to get faithful in church and got saved and was living for God. And her family didn't join her, but she was there. And soon, you know, her dress changed. She became a soul winner, all these things. And man, she was faithful in 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. And halfway through her junior year, she came to my office brokenhearted. She had taken a stand in school. She had her ups and downs, but she was dedicated, faithful to the Lord. She said, "We're moving. Brother Judah, we're moving." When she said it, some of you are going to be youth pastors someday. And when that key person in the youth group has got, you'll know the feeling. We're moving. Man, my heart sunk. And I knew she didn't have any support at home, and I knew it was going to be difficult. I said, "Where are you moving to?" She said, "I'm moving to Houston, Texas." I said, "Okay." I said, "There's a guy there named Johnny Pope. I've never met him, but I know he's there, and try to get to that church." And she went there one time, but it was an hour and a hour away on the other side of Houston, and it was difficult. And I looked at her, and I said this. I said, "Stephanie, it's going to be hard to make it. You're going to lose your church. You're going to lose your youth group." And by the way, I didn't remember saying this. She reminded me of it the next day when she came to the youth rally. I said, "But Stephanie, if anybody can make it, you can make it." I said, "If anybody can make it, you can make it." That was Mom's friend. Stephanie came to the youth rally on Saturday, married, 3 children, assistant youth pastor's wife at their church. She sat me down. She said, "Brother Judah, it was so hard. That was the hardest year of my life." She said, "I was so close so many times and throwing it all away." She said, "I didn't have a church and I didn't have support. But do you remember when you said, 'If anybody can make it, you can make it'"? I said, "No." She said, "Well, you did. And every time I was this close, I just heard those words. And I knew people were thinking about me and praying for me." She said, and then she began to tell me, "You know, we moved from Houston to South Carolina, and my parents moved with us. And we got in church in Brother Tharp's church in South Carolina. Mom and Dad got saved. I began discipling Mom and Dad." She said, "It was so weird, Brother Judah. Here I am taking my own mother through discipleship like a child." She said, "It was crazy." She said, and then we moved back to Texas, and Mom and Dad are so involved in South Carolina. They just stayed in the church. They're living for the Lord now. This is my husband. These are my children. And this is my youth group. And man, Saturday I preached, and her teenagers came down, and I saw Stephanie praying with young ladies and crying over them. And hey, that's what I'm talking about. Satan says, "Take the goods, but give me the people." There'll never be a Solomon. There'll never be a Stephanie if you sell out. Derek, would you come up here? Hey, this is my son. He's glad to get out of 2 hours of school today. Come up here, D. Come up here, D. Come on, man. All right. Daughter's here. My other son is in high school. Precious wife teaching at the grade school. Hey, Abdel, you're 17. It's weird serving God, isn't it? No one else is doing it all around you. Abdel, don't be so radical. Don't be so extreme. Just, you know, hey, just tip your toe in the slime of this world for a while. Listen to that song that's gonna harden your heart. Come on now. Watch that YouTube video that's gonna cause you to question the existence of God even. Just go ahead, just go, it's popular. He's got 300 million followers. Just watch it, it's good. Come on now, hey. Take the goods, Abdel, but give me the people. You go ahead. Go to the world. See, some of you are this close, and I know it. You dragged into Bible college. You're putting in your year. Come on now. You've got plans afterwards. Let me tell you something. You won't find this. You won't find this right here in the world. You'll never have. You won't find that special man, that special woman. You won't find in the slime of Sodom. You won't have a family. You won't have the blessings of God. It's the payoff. The payoff. Some of you need to say today, man, I'll take the people. There's people in Chicago to reach. There's people in my future. I'll take the youth group someday. I'll take the mission field someday. I'll take the sermons that I'm going to preach someday. I'll take the lives changed at the altar someday. I don't want a thread or a stitch from this world. I'll take the people. I'm looking for the people. Some of you ought to just say this, and I'm done. I need to be done. Some of you ought to say this because it's in the passage. The next time Satan comes to you and offers you the deal of a lifetime, $22 an hour, the deal of a lifetime. You're not really called to mission field, are you? Come on, now. I'm just saying. The next time it happens, you ought to open up your Bible to Genesis chapter number 14, and you ought to say this to Satan. Hey, Satan, someone better than you has already visited me. You see, before Satan got there, Melchizedek was there. Before Satan showed him the stuff, Melchizedek said, here's some substance, here's the word of God, here's the Holy Spirit, here's a blessing. Hey, Satan can offer you a day, but Jesus can offer you a life and life more abundantly. Satan can offer you a bag of gold. Jesus give you a city where the streets are paved with gold. Some of you ought to just recognize what you have and how good God's been. And when the deal is in front of you, say no, no, no. You're too late, devil. Jesus has already swept by. I've already gotten a glimpse of the blessing of God. I will not sign the contract. You can have all the goods. I'll take the people. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? This altar is open. Hey, Hiles Anderson, Satan's got a contract in front of you. Take the goods, but give me the people. Somebody needs to get passionate today. Somebody needs to lift their hand to heaven today and say, I don't want a single thread from Sodom, man. I don't want any of it. I don't want any of it. Lift your hand to heaven and say, God, I promise you. I promise you. I want the payoff. Give me the people, Hiles Anderson College. Give me the miracles you should have seen, the souls that would have been saved, the lives that would have been touched. Give me the Solomons, the Stephanies, the Derricks. Just give them to you. You can't even see them now. So here, I'll give you something you can grab hold of right now. You trade it. Give me your integrity. Give me your testimony. Give me your ministry. Give me the people. Give me the people. And take the goods. Oh, teenager, don't make a deal with the devil. Let's get serious about this thing this year. Let's have a student body that doesn't even have the look of Sodom, doesn't even have the stink of the slime from Sodom. I don't want any of that on my life, man. I want the people. That's what I want. I want the people. I want the students in this room that a school camp and you got saved. Is that a youth revival? You sold out to God. I wouldn't trade that. You can believe this or not. I wouldn't trade that stuff for $1 million today, Zach. I wouldn't trade it for $1 million, man. Zach, sixth grade, Indian Creek. Remember? I wouldn't trade it for $1 million today. I want the people, man. I want the people. Heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus never fails. Mitchell.